When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is David Edgar. I am your host as always, and I'm joined this week by Linwood Rose himself, the splendid David Marshall. Hello there, David.
We must have been playing St Mirren this week because I won the flagship.
Well, St Mirren expert. I mean, there aren't many advantages to coming from Linwood, right? There's a Linwood RSC and this. That's it.
Linwood Rangers as well.
How did your school do in this year's league table? I know that previous...
Not great, no. Bottom of the table for Renfrewshire. So, Arco's always next year.
That's the attitude, mate. That is the attitude. It's one, though, that I hope that we don't need to be considering in the summer.
Yes.
But Rangers back to league business yesterday after getting back on track, at least, against Hearts. Important to continue. I maintain my theory that I've never seen a good game between Rangers and St Mirren at either the Smyzer or at the Old Love Street. I don't know. I don't think it's a place that's built for electric football. But look, this stage of season, it is all about winning. There's no getting away from that. We will talk about the performance, but let's face it, we didn't win yesterday. It was done.
Yeah, it was. We're at this point now. We just need to win. I think I can't remember if it was a flagship or a post-match from with you and Martin a couple of weeks ago. And I said, you know, from this point to the end of the season, I'm just looking for wins. I understand the thinking that the performances need to come as well if we're going to be able to maintain it. Frankly, I don't think that's possible. I don't think this team's got that in them. I'm just looking at every game, David, in isolation and just seeing that as whatever we can to get over the line there, we need to do it. And again, that doesn't sound maintainable either, but I think that's our best shot. So in terms of getting the win, it's another game ticked off.
Yeah, I think that was the key thing about the match. Now, interestingly, you and I had a debate with some of the other podders yesterday about the team selection. And that there are bits in it that I don't think we're all happy with. I think that's fair to say. When I saw the team come out, though, I sort of looked at the bench, and I can't say there was a lot of guys sitting on that bench that I thought, it's a disgrace he's not in the team today. I didn't really look down the list and go, yeah, you could make arguments based on your own individual preferences. The big one for me currently is in the centre of midfield, where Lundstrom, there's a lot of talk that he's heading to Turkey, I think looks a bit done, to be honest. I think he's putting in kind of flat performances. I don't think the energy levels are there, end of a long season or whatever, even before we get to, you know, his future. And I would have Sterling in there, but I do understand that when you look around the rest of the team, I mean, Raskin's the one people talk about, but again, it's not really based on much. You know, it wasn't like he's been showing good form for a long time. And again, you know, you go back to the managers watching him in training, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I just kind of feel the manager's hands are a wee bit tied at the moment by what he's got available. Didn't seem to me that there was anyone you could go, oh, that is a terrible decision that the X or Y is playing.
Yeah, I'd lean to agreeing with you there. I mean, I'm well-documented, no fan of John Lundstrom. If there's one thing you were saying during our debate yesterday, that he's playing like his moves already went through, I'd disagree with that. I think he's playing like he has for the majority of his Rangers career, quite frankly. But the one change I would make in there is I would bring Sterling into midfield. That then brings up issues, you know, in other areas of the park, though, where Sterling's been asked to fill in. But I think the team would benefit most, and he would benefit most, if we were playing him in the middle. The idea of bringing Raskin in, I said, as much as I'm not a fan of John Lundstrom, and I think his form's massively off at the moment, there's no evidence for me to suggest that Raskin would be any better. I remember being in one of these shows over the Christmas period where he was getting games, and I was asking, what is it he actually offers? What is it he brings to the team? Because he's showing nothing right now.
People have forgotten that.
Yeah. The idea of Raskin is...
That's a very phrase, Dave.
Yeah, the idea of what he could bring or what his potential is higher than, you know, what he's actually shown in the Rangers shirt so far.
I do think, and we'll just start in on the game. I do think for the last few weeks, the midfield balance doesn't look right for whatever reason. It's been better because against Ross County in particular, we were all over the fucking place. I mean, really, and I think I counted 11 times Ross County broke on us through the midfield and there was just nothing there. It's looked a bit better since Diomande came in. I'm not, and I haven't been convinced that Diomande and Lundstrom complement each other particularly. No. I would like to see Sterling in there. That would be my change because I think one, he's got a slightly different skill set to the other midfielders. Two, he brings you an athleticism in there. He's very good at hunting the ball, winning it, and then just giving it to someone. And while I understand why the manager had him out on the right, I think you get a decent player on the right. I think you get a decent left back when he's at left back. I think you get a very good midfielder. And to me, I just think, but again, I also look at the bench. I say, well, if he doesn't play him, who's playing on the right? So I do get the considerations. But for me, I think I like the idea. And again, we haven't seen much of it, so it's not really one that I'm basing it on. But I just think that the complementary things, you know, you've got Diomande's very good on the ball. He can take a ball under pressure, which not a lot of our players can do.
No.
And he can come out with it. He can get forward. And I think if you put Sterling next to him to say, I'll handle all this back here, you know, I'll go and I'll win the ball and I'll give it to you, I just think that you get a bit more, and I don't think Lundstrom at the moment has the energy to do that type of role.
No, I completely agree with that. As I said, I think the team, you know, when Sterling's in there, he just gives us so much more energy. He is one of these players that drives us on. You know, you talk about the last couple of games, the Ross County game, we were totally ripped apart, and I think the Dundee game, that wee blonde boy they had in the midfield, whose name escapes me, he was dictating play as well for a game that, you know, nothing really happened. Our midfield was absolutely anonymous. I think, you know, the options that we've got are very limited, but I think we need to try do something about in there, because it's just doing absolutely nothing. The midfield is, you know, the style of the overall play that we're watching at the moment is not enjoyable, let's be honest about it. And I think a lot of that comes from the midfield because there just doesn't seem to be anything there.
Yeah, on that, I think the thing that perhaps was a bit disappointing yesterday was against Hearts, one of the things I liked was the start. I thought that the team came out and took the game, you know, and said, no, we're going to dominate this, and got the goal in the early period. And yeah, Hearts came back.
Like we always do against Hearts, and only Hearts for some reason, it seems.
And Hibs,
yes. If we could play them every week this league,
if we could play either at Hampden every week or against Hearts and Hibs, this league would have been done ages ago. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. But yeah, we maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it is a respect thing, you know, that we come out and go, oh, these are good teams, we've got to go on the front foot here. Maybe. And against other teams, we think we don't. I don't know, it could be a psychological thing. But I thought we were a wee bit slow at the traps. I did think St Mirren were good. I thought that their pressing was really good, energetic, high, and it put us under pressure early doors. And of course, he's won Player of the Year. He's won Players' Player of the Year. He has been nominated for the PFA SPFL Player of the Year. Jack Butland, not for the first time, couple of brilliant saves to keep us in it.
Yeah, he did. As soon as that game starts yesterday and there's a nonsense in the defence within the first minute, again. So I'm counting that as what, four league games in a row where that's happened?
So that's
a thing now. You know, we're just starting games. We're starting games poorly and we're presenting these chances. And as we've seen in the Celtic game, eventually one of these chances are going to get taken. We're going to get in the back foot. We're going to get put in the back foot straight away. But Butland was superb in that first half. I'd agree. I thought Sutton played very well in the first half. I thought they brought the game to us, and we could have considered ourselves not just lucky to go in level, but not go into the halftime break behind. I think Sutton were leading at halftime. I don't think we could have much complaints. I think you'd have to say, if you're Scotland points, they were the better team. But Butland, yeah, bailed us out as he's done many times this season. That one, the one towards the end of the half, Davey, where he's going the wrong way
outrageous.
And manages to get the hand up and tip it over the bar. I was in the process of putting my head in my hands, and I just through my eyes, I could see he's actually saved it. And I was like, my God, I can't believe he's got something to that. And to get the, you know, not just get anything, but get a strong enough hand to manage to get it over the bar. That's, you know, that's top tier stuff.
Yeah, everything about that save is brilliant. First of all, the St Mirren player has a lot to do. It's not an easy strike.
Mm.
And that actually makes it a bit more difficult for a goalkeeper, because you're not really expecting it to come where it goes, because the boy actually hits it with the outside of his foot but controls it and keeps it down and gets pace in it,
yeah,
which is a lot to do. And he's like you, Dave. He's got the arms going up already.
Oh, he's celebrating, yeah.
Well, it's in. It's in. He's going the wrong way.
Look at the Rangers fans behind the goal yesterday. A lot of info that was in as well.
Well, I mean, he's going the wrong way. He somehow manages to stop, shift his weight back, get the hand up in time, and the reaction is impressive enough. It would have been past a lot of goalkeepers before that. And then, as you say, to have the strength of hand to get it up, and not just up and away, up and over the bar. If it comes out, that box is packed. You don't know where it's dropping.
Yeah,
and their defence haven't been great, let's face it, at reacting to rebounds. So I think that everything about it was top draw. And you actually saw a couple of St Mirren players walk up to him afterwards and go, what a fucking save, mate. You know, which I think kind of indicates it. We took the lead, and it did come from a corner. And that we appear to have gone back to in-swingers again. And I'm a big fan of, simply because I feel that like I've seen 18,000 out-swingers.
Yeah.
Garner is nothing. So, you know, to me, it's a simple thing. If it's not working, you change it. And to be fair, they were attempting it yesterday. There were some short ones where they worked the ball in. But goalkeeper makes an arse of it, right? No getting away from that. He comes for it, doesn't get it. But that, to me, makes Diamandi's contribution actually rather better, because he doesn't give it up. And I think that sometimes one of my bugbears with the side is that they don't anticipate. You know, they stop, basically. He goes around thinking, well, you never know, and does well to cushion the header back across, and then Dessers is where strikers should be, which forces the Mirren player to put the ball into the net. And look, it's not the best goal we'll ever score. It's certainly not going to make any end of season lists, but I just like the fact that tried something a bit different, and then somebody was alive and reactive in that situation.
No, I think you've summed up there perfectly. It's two players, you know, completing their jobs of what they should be doing. Diamandi anticipates the ball going over the keeper, because, as you say, you never know. Gets a good ball back across the goal, but even though he doesn't score it here, Dessers does really well putting the pressure on the centre-half, because if he gives it up, the defender's got a much easier clearance in what he's got. He's putting the pressure on the defender, made him make the mistake and got the goal out of it. Yeah, that was really, as much as the goalkeeper's mistake out, it was really nice to see, because, as you say, it was two players not giving up on the play and just finishing your job, making sure you're playing to the whistle, and we got the result from it.
Didn't have it for long, though.
No.
St Mirren getting back into it. Mandaron, who was quite impressive, to be fair, I thought had a good game. I was really, look, from a St Mirren point of view, this is a great goal, because they work it, they get the ball into the box, and it's a terrific header. Great. I'm not a St Mirren fan, so I don't care. I'm looking at it from a Rangers point of view. One, we give the ball away in midfield too easily. Two, nobody goes out to put any pressure on the cross. And look, it's professional football. You cannot allow guys time to pick out a cross. They're professionals, and whether or not they're world beaters, anyone with time on a ball who's a professional footballer will be able to deliver something that might hurt you. And then Balogun just gets moved out of the way. It's just physically dominated by the big fella, and he nods it in. Seen some people saying Butland should have done better. I'm not too sure, because to me it's just inch perfect, the header. It's literally, it kisses the post in the way, and I just think that it really should have been dealt with at source, and then it should have been dealt with when the cross comes in, because the way that the physical movement, Balogun's not even in a position to affect the header, you know? He's not even there to put pressure on. He's completely taken out of it, and to me it was just a poor goal to give away.
Yeah, goalkeeper's union here. If Amin goes for that, there's absolutely no way I'm taking the blame for that, because even if everyone in front of you does their job properly, I think it's just a great finish, to be quite honest. I don't think you could... If he gets to that, it's some save, because it's, as you say, it's right in the corner, goes in off the post. I think when you get a shot like that, the keeper's, you know, he really has to go some. I think Butland's totally taken out of the equation, but there's just so many points of failure from a Rangers perspective before the ball gets travelling towards goal. Again, this is an issue we've been talking about for years. How many times we've seen losing goals like this because we simply don't go out and stop the cross. Our players like to talk about, we'll learn from this quick. This is yet another thing that we haven't learned from, that's been a problem for eons now. And yeah, Balogun is just so disappointing here. He has to be stronger here. To be fair to him, it's uncharacteristic of him to be bullied out the way of what he was, but he'll know himself. He should have done so, so much better there. That boy, you know, had him in toast for that goal. He has to be stronger there, Davey.
Yeah, I just, on our defence, right, people, you know, we were all saying Goldson could do with getting stepped out. And at least we know now, by the way, it's a dropping. It's not a, you know, it's not a rest, but it's a really long rest. But, you know, Balogun did well against Hearts, did well to be in the side. I just don't particularly like any of our centre-halves at the moment, if I'm being honest. I think that Suter has got talent, but I think makes mistakes. And he's one of these really unlucky players that, when he makes mistakes, they generally lead to things, you know, and that is unfortunate, but maybe that isn't bad luck. Maybe that's the type of errors that he makes. Davis has just been a non-factor, just a, I think, a poor signing overall, if we're being honest. And I think that, you know, Goldson looks as though he's on the decline. Balogun is a good stopgap, but he has a stopgap, and I don't think anyone would disagree with that. I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's got good mentality. I think he's always came in and done a good job. But he's not your first choice, you know? He is a come-in guy. So it's definitely a key area in the summer for me, David. And I know that there are plenty that would fall into that category. But I think we need one, and maybe even two, centre-halves and to move at least a couple of them on.
I'd say we need two minimum next season. I'm very much similar to you. I don't particularly like any of our centre-halves. Suter, I've never been entirely convinced with. I think he's fine as your third or, you know, below choice for centre-half. But I think if he's your top-performing centre-half at Rangers, I think that tells you more about who else is in that position at the moment. Goldson, his time's done at Rangers. I'd be looking to move him on. It's just a case of being here for just a bit too long. Balogun, I like Balogun as well. I wouldn't have re-signed him. I think that was a major red flag when we did sign him. It screamed to me as somebody who Beale just had the number in his phone. It seemed quite lazy to me at the time. I think he's done okay, but yeah, it's just an area that we really need to look for upgrades on everyone, I'd say, we've got there at the moment.
Yeah, and that may be a bit harsh, but it's just where we are, I think.
If you look early in the season as well, you know, over when things were going well under Clement, there was a point where we had, you know, we had a quite good record and we weren't conceding a lot of goals. I don't know how much he could put in that in Jack Blutton. I think he has to take a lot of credit for that, but that doesn't mean, of course, those in front of him don't get any credit. But there was still this feeling that even though the record's good, it does feel paper thin and we're waiting for this defence to slip back to where we think it is.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I asked Clement about it at a press conference and he gave me a row.
Yes.
Said, you know, you're looking to, don't try to create something.
Did you get the stare?
Yeah, God, but you know, obviously, you know, we don't ask difficult questions, famously, but
ask him what the favourite colour is, yeah.
Absolutely. Generally, I ask him, you know, what's your opinion on the 1980 flop film Heaven's Gate, which famously bankrupted United Artists, and he just looked at me like I was daft. But no, I did. I said to him, you know, fans are concerned about this. And he said, well, they don't need to be. We're not conceding goals. You know, that's creating an issue that isn't there. And I was like, I don't think it is.
No.
But, you know, you're the manager. But, yeah, it's an area I would definitely look to strengthen in. Look.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The player's mentality has been questioned the last few weeks, deservedly so. So I suppose it would be churlish not to say, well, they found a way to win. Mm-hmm. And Tav, who hasn't been playing particularly well, but he does keep going. It's one of his strengths. Delicious ball into the box. Again, I think St Mirren, it was the boy who scored the own goal as well. He slips and careers into his goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But again, and this is something I did want to highlight about Cyril Dessers. Dessers is there and he heads it in and it looks like an easy chance, right? Fair enough. One of the things that I don't like about modern football, could you get me a cloud as I prepare David to look up and shout towards it? I still think your traditional number nines, your best number nines, they play between the goals and they get themselves into the six-yard box because that's where you score goals. Now, that was Cyril Dessers' 20th of the season. Yesterday, I think most people would agree he's not the most talented number nine we've ever had. There are weaknesses in his game, but he gets himself into position to score goals. And we were talking about it earlier in the season with someone said to me, oh, I wish that the chances that he gets would fall to, at the time it was Silva, or would fall to someone else. And I was like, it's not luck that they fall to him. It's because he gets himself into those positions and his finishing can be erratic once he gets there. We know that. But it's just something I think has slightly been lost. Little things like, and you know, I didn't play at a particularly high standard, but it was always get to the front post because you'll get a goal there. Get into the 6-yard box because you'll get a goal there. Don't go out wide, you know, play between the 18-yard box. You know, that's the width of the pitch for you. And I just think Dessers is good at that, at respecting that and saying, well, I'm going to put myself in a position where I might score a goal. And as I say, it's not luck.
No, I'd agree with that. I mean, as you said, he's got his long list of faults, but it isn't you know, luck or a coincidence that he finds himself in these positions time and time again. As I said, for that first goal, he deserves the credit for that as well, because he's in the position there to put the pressure on the centre half. And as much as, again, the second goal is a mistake between the one centre half and the goalkeeper, Dessers is there to finish it. I mean, that mistake can happen and that ball can just trundle out and go out for a throw-in. We need the centre-half in there to put it away. And he, again, like he did for the first goal, he finished his job. He executed his role perfectly and he got the goal from it. It doesn't matter that it was an easy chance. It was an open goal. Him being there, you know, I'd say helps to lead to the mistake from St Mirren in the first place, and he's here to finish up, which is what he should be doing. So, yeah, he deserves. I don't care if it's an easy chance. I want to see my striker scoring those before I want to see them scoring 30-yard wonder goals outside the box. If you score them, then, you know, your day's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of talk about modern strikers and the extra skills they have, that they can drop deep, that they can go out wide and link up play and be involved. For me, I like a striker who can hold the ball up and bring others into play and score goals. That's sort of what I'm looking for from these people. And I just think that, you know, it's that being in the right place, being there often enough. And, you know, one thing about Dessers, and I'm not by any means kidded on that he's a wonderful player or anything like that. I think you mentioned there, he has flaws and we all know them. But he doesn't hide. His attitude is spot on.
Yeah.
And he's never injured. He's not one of these guys that thinks I'll go into the treatment room for a few weeks because we're not playing well. I also think that the mental strength to come back from being cheered off when he got subbed, there are a few players on our team who would have collapsed and died on the pitch had that happened to them. And yeah, I just think that when we're going through the list of things that we're unhappy with, I think occasionally we need to be aware of his limitations. You know, I don't think you're fooling anybody to say he's the most complete striker you'll ever see. But here's a guy who, put it this, I think if a few more of them had Dessers' attitude, I think we'd be in a better place.
Yeah, to be honest with you, there was one player that I couldn't really question his mentality and the team. It's Dessers, because he has had criticism, and mostly rightly so, from the word go since he came to Rangers. But he just never seems to let it affect him, no matter, you know, what sort of hiding he'll get from the stands or in the paper or on social media or whatever. And he's aware of this noise as well, because he spoke about it in a few interviews I've seen with him. He just doesn't let it affect him, and any miss he has doesn't seem to let it affect him either. He will, it's something I will give him credit for, he does keep going. He has got a strong head on his shoulders.
And we get the victory, we get the 3 points. I think the thing now is, as you say, it's one game at a time.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be looking ahead and saying, right, we'll see how we get on there. I think, you know, we've got Kilmarnock at home next week. I would hope for a performance in that match as well as a victory. You know, the victory is the key thing. But I would like to see us play now. By the time that comes around, that we'll have had one game in a fortnight. So I think energy levels should be higher, and I would expect to see a little bit more. It would be nice if we could welcome a couple of players back, but this season at Rangers, it does seem to be that when a player comes in, a player falls out.
Yep.
So, you know, you never know when it comes to that. But I do agree. For me, I think sometimes when I've watched this team over the last month, there's been a strange thing that at the exact moment that the fans began to believe that the team would win the league, it seemed that the players didn't. Mm-hmm. And they had to have dragged themselves back into the race. But it just seemed to me that there was this sort of correlation that as soon as the fans started to think, the players started to drop off. And there were times yesterday where you just think, I just want to see a little more intensity in your play. Now, is that legs towards the end of the season? Is it mentality? The manager's spoken before about the pre-season being botched. And we do know that that's when you get, you know, you put the miles in the legs for this. And they're not the only one. We've watched Liverpool, I think, down south the last couple of weeks, where you just think you're going for a title. Where's the intensity? I wish it was as easy as just, you know, flick a switch. What are the reasons for this? The manager says he knows what the reasons for it are, and it won't happen again next season. But I think there are times as a supporter where you just are looking for it. And like I say, when Kilmarnock comes on Sunday, it's been one game in a fortnight. I would expect them rested, fresh and ready.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't expect it, to be honest. I think even watching that game yesterday, I don't think we're playing like a team that... I don't think they believe that they can win the league, to be honest, even with the win yesterday. I'd say for that second half yesterday as well, I think we were helped by the fact that I don't think Sittman played anywhere near as well as he did in the first half. I think they might have thought their chance... They might have missed it in the first half, and maybe they got that goal.
I think they put so much in, mate. Yeah. I think that, and this is, you know, why I do expect Rangers in a game like that to come out second half and dominate, because, yes, St Mirren put so much into it with the press. They were unlikely to be. They did the same at Parkhead a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. the same thing happened in the second half. I just didn't think they'd be able to maintain that for 90 minutes, and that is when I expect, and I was a wee bit disappointed. The Rangers did do it, but it took us 20 minutes. And then Cantwell started to get on the ball a lot more, and he had a couple of chances, and we got the goal. And it's just like, you know, lads, seize the moment. You know, like after half time, that's when to do it. But that's just a frustration on my part.
Mm-hmm. And I think when I say the next game coming up against Kilmarnock, I mean, I can see that being a difficult game. If Kilmarnock come and sit in, as you know, we all expect they will, that could be a really frustrating day for us. And you know, if it gets to half time and it's still 0-0, the fans are going to start getting edgy. How do the players react to that? I don't see you know, a turnaround like at the end of the 2011 season, where we went on a fantastic run of form and we really put the pressure on Celtic with how we were playing. I don't see that sort of thing happening. I think we just, the way I'm looking at it, is just taking every game as it comes, taking one game as it comes, and just doing whatever needs to get done to get through that game, because I just can't see this team going on this, you know, enthusiastic run.
Our opponents are in pole position. It would be churlish to say that they aren't. However, having watched them yesterday, the idea of them dropping points is not fanciful.
No, I'd agree, Eb. I'll be honest, I didn't even pay attention to the Celtic game yesterday. I just, you know, seen the result and then read a wee bit about it afterwards. And, you know, by all accounts, they, you know, Dundee played very well and were a bit unlucky not to get more from that. It's not out the realms of possibility for them to drop points. I mean, when they play Hearts and they play Kilmarnock, there will be that wee voice in the back of my head saying, you know, see today, this is a chance for us. But on the opposite side of that, I wouldn't say it's, you know, impossible for us to drop points between now and the end of the season outside of Celtic. So I'm just taking it as it comes, Davey. If we get through that Kilmarnock game with a 1-0 win, I mean, I won't, you know, be coming on here and telling you that no, we're definitely going to win the league now, but I'll take the win and move on from it.
Yeah. And I think that's the key thing. And I don't think that the team should be looking ahead and saying, you know, Parkhead fans can do that, obviously, but I think let's get the job done at the moment. I don't think we're good enough to look too far ahead.
No, definitely not.
And overlook sides, especially a decent side like Kilmarnock, who are well coached, are well organised. The way the top six is this year, that teams do have things to play for, because there's going to be the extra European play in fifth.
Five teams in Scotland, the league qualifying for Europe, that seems weird.
You see, happen all the time, mate. See, in the 80s, and the games were all on the same night, and none of them were on the telly. It was a different day. And you'd stick on the wireless, and the games would be on.
You're going to give that cloud a sore head, did he?
The tram was king, you know. We all wore plus fours. Video was the
4 miles
program.
To school and 10 miles back.
Got up half an hour before we went to bed. Ah, you kids with your internets and your happy slapping.
Bloody Game Boys and
Your espadrilles. You don't know you're born. But, five Scottish teams in Europe. Not for long, one would imagine. No.
All out before the school start back, but it's nice to have.
Generally speaking, but yeah, it's like Radio 3, right? Never listen to it. It's nice to know it's there.
Glad it's here, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's fair. So we do go on then, Dave, and, you know, thankfully. And look, one thing that maybe has been missed is, with the exception of the year we won the league, the league has been done by now every year. So it is kind of terra incognito after a while. And it is just a case of, I think, maintaining and keeping yourselves in the race. We go to Parkhead, you know, all focus will be on that. But make sure that all focuses on that. Right? Yes. Get the 3 points next week. You got 3 points yesterday. At least give yourselves an opportunity to put pressure on and see what happens.
No, I totally agree. I think that's the way we need to approach it. Just take each game as it comes, try and win them all, and the chips will land where they land come the 38th game. I'm not even thinking about Celtic at the moment. I'm just hoping we get past Kilmarnock and just keep going every week and just keep ourselves in there, because you never know what might happen.
One other thing, just before we wrap this up, Zeb Jacobs, the Rangers head of the youth academy, is leaving. He's going to Feyenoord. It was announced, and it's kind of led to a debate about where we are with youth development in Scotland. And there are a few points I want you to consider here, Dave. That first of all, I would say, does our academy produce enough players for us? I would say no, it doesn't. I know we've had Ross McCausland this season. And as was put to me by a listener, he said, well, is it just a case that they're not getting a chance? And I said, that's maybe a factor. But that to me then means, well, what's the point of it if they're not going to get a chance anyway? And the other thing about it is if you raise a really special talent, the chances are he'll get pinched by a club in England. For us, the latest one was Rory Wilson, who's now doing well at Aston Villa. The reason for that is Aston Villa can pay a 16-year-old 20 grand a week, safe in the knowledge that if he makes it, great. If he doesn't, they'll get 5 million from a championship side for him, because they'll buy direct from English academies, and the academy kind of confers that status on them. So it's like, so first of all, you're looking for players that are only at a certain level, because if they're better than that, you're not going to be able to keep them and you're not going to make any money on them.
Yeah.
Not just us, by the way. Aberdeen lost a player a couple of months back. Celtic lost Ben Doak to Liverpool. This is what happens with the exceptional talents. So I don't know, is it worth it? If the exceptional talents you can't get, and then you're looking down the pyramid a wee bit, and you're not going to play them anyway, is there not a sense of frustration there? I find there's a sense of frustration there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating. We want to be a... Because we're in, you know, that position where we can't go out and spend £10 million on a player. So logic would dictate then, okay, well, we need to make the £10 million player ourselves, but he'll get taken off us before he's able to be sold for that amount of money. So how do you win? What's the point of success here? It's a difficult one. I mean, I'm glad it's not my job to decide, you know, how to take this forward, but I think there's been a lot of things within the academy recently, you know, if losing Zeb Jacobs after a year. So that's us bringing a new guy in and going back to square one and having him come in and implement his vision for taking it forward. The B team scenario of being in the Lowland League, then out the Lowland League, and now we're playing, you know, friendlies. I don't see the benefit of that. I don't think we got what we wanted from the Lowland League either, but I think playing no competitive football is a detriment to players' development as well. So it's a tough one, because we've got this fantastic academy facility there, but yeah, what does it actually give us?
Yeah, and people will point to Nathan Patterson, and that is true, and maybe that's what happens. You get one of those every few years. But I'm just thinking about what would help us from a first team point of view. That, to me, is the absolute key thing. And, you know, if Nathan Patterson had stayed and we'd sold Tav, Nathan Patterson wouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah.
At this stage, he would have been sold by now. So that's the thing that I find very frustrating. But it ain't going to change, because we are next to this behemoth. Or behemoth, even. I got the wrong way around there. I'm always doing that. And, you know, I think the kind of frustration comes from that for me. And I read that the cost is around about £3 million a year from the academy. Now, Nathan Patterson obviously paid for that for about 5 years with his sale. I get that. So it's broke. It's more than broken even currently. But I'm kind of looking at it and going, well, could you ring fence that £3 million and then say at the start of a season, identify the best young players in Scotland and you go and buy them, but you loan them straight back. So you sign Lennon Miller and you sign Watson from Kilmarnock or McCown from the DRA and other, but you loan them back, meaning that by the time they come back, you've got a player that's got at least 2 years Premier League experience. I don't know. Is that a better use of money? the practical bit of my brain says, if it was that easy, surely they'd have tried it by now.
Yeah. And it just feels, you know, the idea of scrapping it entirely, that, I don't know, it just doesn't
feel kind of feels like a defeat, doesn't it?
It doesn't feel like the right vibe for a club, for a big club like Rangers to do that.
Yeah, I just think that we need to find another way. That's mm-hmm. probably it. Maybe as a country, not just as a club, but certainly as a league, because I just think at the moment we're not really giving ourselves the best opportunity. And it can come down to the fact that you need a manager that's brave enough to play young players. I always go back to the argument that if a managers don't pick players because of their mate. I know that sometimes people get frustrated about that, but managers know what happens if they don't get results, they get fired. So they pick the sides they think are most likely to win the game.
Yeah, pick now, people you can rely on. Yeah,
yeah, you can argue with that. Like I say, I think the manager is a blind spot about Lundstrom, but he's not picking him, you know, for a laugh. No. He's picking him because he genuinely believes I have a better chance of winning 3 points, thus being successful, thus keeping my job by picking this player. That's mm-hmm. why they do it. And, it, you know, if he's got youngsters that can come in and do that, then he'll do it. I just think that at Rangers, history tells us that because of the demands of the fans, we do tend to go after a couple of games, he's shite, get him out, get someone more experienced in. Yeah, Ross McCausland, you know, that a player will not get time to develop with us. And then you go back to, you know, it's catch 22, that you give someone a chance, but unless they're very, very good in their opening season, then people will begin to think, he's not up to it. Whereas a guy like McCown at Dundee or Watson at Kilmarnock can develop in the side because the spotlight isn't there. Lewis Mayo, I think, is a good example mm-hmm. at Kilmarnock, where he's been exceptional this season, Lewis Mayo. He's a terrific season, but it's a completely different level of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, as a whole, I think we should always be looking to target the best Scottish talent because, you know, growing up, even when we were signing, you know, foreigners for millions and millions of pounds, we were still doing that, you know.
Do you want my cloud?
I know. It's, see, that's you hit your 30s and the clouds just start coming
clouds
closer
are there
to you.
And you've got to wave your fist.
But as I was saying, you know, we had, you know, Neil McCann in there. We brought in Billy Dodds. We were still bringing in who seemed to be the best Scottish options available to us. And it's not something, I suppose we've tried to do it. And, you know, you can point at Jake Hastie and Scott Wright to see what happens when you don't get it right, but I still think it's a tactic that, regardless of everyone else, we should still be trying.
Yeah, no one disagree. Well, folks, let us know what your thoughts on that are. It's as I say, I think it's a debate that we need to have in the game up here about, right, is are the old methods working? If not, what do we need to do in the modern landscape? That will do us for today on Heart and Hand. Cammy will be back later in the week with Heart and Hand Extra, previewing the match against Kilmarnock back at Ibrox for what feels like the first time in forever. I'll be back next Monday to discuss it. Thank you very much to David Marshall.
Oh, pleasure as always, mate.
And my thanks to our producers, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. If you want to hear more from Heart and Hand, and there is plenty more, as I say, up to 5 shows every single day, we cover all things Rangers from all aspects, go to patreon.com/Heart and Hand. Until then, folks, have a good week, and I'll talk to you this time next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.